if you think about the big businesses that exist today, which ones would you name? Well, if you're into computers, cell phones, internet, and everything like that, you would think of technology and everything that has to do with that. From tablets and laptops to desktops to gamers to big TVs and everything else that goes with that, to Game Boys and PS stations. Isn't that what they're called? PS? PlayStations? You know, from everything. If you're not into the technology, you might think of the remodeling. The Home Depots and all of that. You might think of redecorating and the paint and the new styles when the bathroom and kitchen fixtures change styles of what's current, and people spend dollars keeping their house up to date. You might think of new stainless steel appliances if you have the still old white ones. You know, you can think of all kinds of industry. Another industry is the cosmetic industry, the skincare industry, and everything that goes with that. And one of the things that are common with these huge economic booms in businesses is that it often promotes out with the old and in with the new. And in with the new keeps changing. And it keeps costing you. I remember when a huge TV went from 12-inch, black and white. How many of you remember black and white? Okay, just checking. Okay, you know, to... Now, I don't even know what the largest TV made is. Things have changed. Follow along in the second reading for this morning from the book of Revelation. John is going to tell you something that is, in a sense, unsettling for us, but it's also so wonderful. He's telling us things are going to change. Now, maybe you're like I am. The older I get, the less I like change. I used to have no problem going to pastors' conferences and things like that. Gwen was home with the girls when they were young, and I slept just fine in a hotel room. When I was growing up, we moved around so much, I could sleep anywhere. Whether it was on the floor, behind the front seat of the car, that was my spot. You know, my sister had the back seat. My other brothers and sisters had the back of the station wagon. We could sleep anywhere. At my age, I want my bed. Maybe you are like that too. We get to a point where we don't want change, and we start holding on. And when things change anyway, we don't like it. So in a sense, I'm just trying to warn you, this news may make you a little uncomfortable because John tells us that everything is going to change. In fact, it says everything here is going to pass away. Now, to really upset you, that means you're not going to have your pew anymore. That place you've been in on Sunday for how many years, you know, that's no longer yours. But also, I want to let you know, nobody else is sitting in that same spot because the pew won't be anymore. Things are going to change. Your house won't be anymore. Your job won't be anymore. Good news, all that stuff in your attic, you don't have to worry about. That won't be anymore. You won't have to worry about retiring and moving and relocating and repacking or unpacking, or maybe it's still in the box you packed it once, and shuffling the boxes. You will not have to do that anymore. You see, John is telling us about Christmas and Easter all in one. And the end of the world, too. He's telling us about how Christ is with us. But he wants us to look a little further for a few moments and how we will be with Christ. that after Judgment Day, all believers will be with Christ in the glorified body. And he says, I got to tell you, there's going to be some changes, but I think you'll like it. And the changes include all the things that we battle now that we won't have to battle anymore. It talks about tears and sorrow and suffering and grieving. And other places of scriptures add to the list, like war, rumors of war, general elections. We look forward to the day when Christ has come and we are in the kingdom of heaven. The dilemma for us is to not lose hope now. I remember as a kid learning what Christmas was about, that we got to open presents, and that was a big thing at our house. And once I learned that Christmas was on the calendar for December 25th, and I learned what 12 months were, man, was I grumpy. How many of you just love to wait? No hands? Yeah, that means you're like me. I'm sorry. John tells us that in a sense, you're going to have to wait because there will be a day when this is happening, but it hasn't happened yet. And there will be a day when there is no war and no violence and no crime and no sin. There is a day coming when there will be eternal, forever peace in Christ, being with God in our glorified body, in the bliss with all believers, all those who have died, who we miss. My parents are there. Gwen's parents are there. You have family that are probably there. All those, one day, the people of God will be together. And even to help us out, he began this chapter talking about how Jerusalem came down from heaven. This is not the city that's built by the human hands. This is the city built by God. This is not the temple built by Solomon. This is not the wall around the city built by David and all the Jews. This is the city that is designed, crafted, and therefore built by God. And it is an eternal city. Have you ever known anything built by man to be eternal? We have stuff that doesn't last 90 days. This is the city of God. And John talks about what he saw in that city and within the book of Revelation. And there's some other chapters in the Bible too that talk about that holy dwelling place. But then he mentions it's sort of like Christmas again, because God dwells with man. Emmanuel. I remember that at Christmas, right? O come, Emmanuel. We see that. And here it is, it's Christmas. But he's talking about the Christmas in the fullest of sense, the day to come when Christ has come. And you and I get to be a part of that. And John wants us, as God wants us, to focus on the longer view of things, that we don't live spiritually hand to mouth in the sense of all of our cravings of body and soul, but that we are alive in Christ now, and we will be alive with him forever. But we do acknowledge, and the Bible points out, that life now, being alive in Christ, has its difficulties and challenges. Is your life completely easy? Nope. We're in Middle Tennessee. High allergens. Soon it will be high heat, high humidity. And then in December, some of you will be saying it's too cold. And then, you know, and on we go. We're not satisfied in this day and in this age. And we're always looking to get an upgrade. And sometimes, because we can control certain things in the here and now, we do the upgrades physically. We buy the new refrigerator. We get the new laptop. We buy a tablet. We get a new streaming service. And we find our comfort and our joys in the things of this world. We find our joys when we're empty nesters and the kids are out of the house. Although we miss them, it's not bad. We look forward to retirement. Until both husband and wife are in the house and they're looking at you and they go, how did we used to live together? Well, that's right, I went to work. You went to work. But we crave things, we desire things, we desire a life upgrade. And we're always looking for the next thing. We're looking for the next health treatment, the next surgery that is successful, the next product that will make me beautiful again, you know. I was, this morning after my shower, that's more information than what you really wanted to know, but I don't shower with my glasses on, so I step out and there's a mirror right there and I look and you know what? Without glasses, I don't have hair. There's a perception issue that we have. Being tied to the things of this world. And the book of Revelation is not just about a heavenly battle. It's about a victory. It's about how in Christ, in heaven, we get the best upgrade, remodel, refit you ever had. We get the oneness with God. We get the forever peace. We have the eternal joy. We have no more sins to confess. We have the victory in Jesus. And so when we sing Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, we are singing Christmas and Easter. We are singing what we look forward to in heaven and what we have now until we get there. Paul writes in the New Testament in one of his letters about how he's learned to be content in plenty and in want. He's learned that he's already received the greatest upgrade ever because of Jesus. He doesn't have to be sorrowful. He doesn't have to be sad. He doesn't have to be depressed. He doesn't have to be frustrated. He doesn't have to because Christ has restored and forgiven him all of his sins and renewed his faith. The message of Revelation is sometimes frightening when we look at the war and the destruction and the horsemen, you know, all that kind of stuff. And there are some speakers who use that kind of fear to manipulate people. Well, you don't have to be afraid, and you don't have to look at your life like this box. Ho-hum, I exist. But when I look with human eyes, I'm empty. Because when God sees you, and he tells you this, he has put the Holy Spirit in your heart. He has given you the love of Christ in your heart. He has renewed your thinking in your mind. He has planted his word with you. He has given you what you need. And the world doesn't see it, and it thinks Christians are empty and therefore useless. But you and I like Christmas, and I love Easter, and I have it every day. Because Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Amen.